Good morning, Fourth and Wrongers. That's right, you guys now have a name. You are Fourth and Wrongers, or maybe just Wrongers. What do you guys think about that? Does that work? Fourths. The Fourths? Guys are the Fourths. May the Fourth be with you.
Oh, no.
Oh, we're moving on now. Oh, you don't like Star Wars, do you?
I mean, I'm not big. I respect the story, but I think the movies are bad.
My name's Aaron. That's Aiden over there.
Hello.
Isaiah's on the keys. We've made it to episode 6 somehow. We're now on the week 1 preview for the 2020 football season. Yeah. I didn't think we'd get here.
It's exciting.
It is. Well, you sound excited.
I'm a little tired.
Yeah, what's got you so tired, buddy?
I picked up my puppy. She's a bit of a handful. She wakes me up at 6 a.m. And just for reference, I have never woken up at 6 a.m. even when I was working for the man.
The man.
And yeah, I don't know if you know this, but it's fucking cold outside at 6 in the morning when you're trying to get your dog to piss and shit.
Does she piss and shit?
Oh, yeah.
What's her name?
Rhea, or Chonker, for short.
For short. Aiden has got himself a cute little Rottweiler puppy. She is pretty adorable. I am concerned if she's going to live through the next month because my dog wants to fucking tear her head off. It's actually a little bit concerning.
They're laying kind of close to each other right now.
Yeah,
they look pretty cute. Maybe they're starting to become friends.
They're bonding over football. As soon as we started doing the fantasy football podcast, they got a little bit closer. They're cuddling together. They're actually having a snooze.
Rhea's getting a little braver, going closer and closer every day.
Yeah, we're making progress.
Nova's starting to growl a little less.
How's Rhea's shits?
I mean, they're solid.
Solid. You know who else likes solid shits? Odell Beckham Jr., apparently.
Do you think he likes them just solid?
Actually, if I was to guess, I would assume that if you're into shit, you probably like it when it's a little bit looser. You know what I mean? You don't want a solid shit on your chest. You like when you can smear it around a little bit, you know?
I think if it were me, I would like it.
For me?
So it held together, but if I wanted to smear, I could smear.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So it's like a medium stool.
Yeah.
Yeah, OBJ probably likes medium stools.
Like a little bit harder than cream cheese.
For those that don't know exactly what's going on, essentially today, the day we're recording this, this is Tuesday, August 9th, right? Or 8th? Whatever, August 8th. Today is the day that it came out on the No Jumper podcast. This is the same podcast that had a guest reveal that she sucked 7 of the Phoenix Suns' penises at the same time. Well, not literally at the same time. They weren't all in her mouth. It was in succession, I would assume.
Honestly, it would be impressive if she sucked them at the same time. It's just kind of gross that she sucked all 7 of them.
That's what I'm saying.
At the same time, impressive. All 7 of them, gross. You know?
Yeah, it's the same podcast that revealed that this girl sucked all 7 penises of the Phoenix Suns. And then another story came out on this podcast, and they had a different guest. It was actually Chief Keef's baby mama, Chief Keef the rapper. And she revealed...
Oh, good. Glad we clarified that.
And she... Yeah, not Chief Keef.
The basketball...
The other
Chief
guy.
Chief Keef, yeah, the basketball player. Right.
So Chief Keef's baby mama revealed on the No Jumper podcast that an athlete, a very notable athlete that she hooks up with, loves shit play, and that athlete happens to be Odell Beckham Jr. So the world basically exploded. Do you think it's true?
I don't think so, man. I just feel like... I don't know.
Like, you know,
I just feel like even if I was into that, I definitely wouldn't be exposing it to some random fucking girl I hook up with.
But if you're into that, then you have to expose it to somebody to allow somebody to share your
chest. I feel like I would just wait until I was like in a relationship with somebody maybe who wasn't going to expose me.
So you're going to wait until in a relationship, and then let's say you're like, I don't know, 3 months into that relationship, and you're like, hey, by the way, I get off with shit. Is that going to be all right? You might want to bring that up more than... Before you get in the relationship,
I suppose.
You know?
I saw the girl, and I just, like, I don't think OBJ, probably the best-looking man in the NFL, had any intention of being in a relationship with this woman.
Well, I don't think he wanted to be in a relationship with her. I think he just wanted her to shit on him.
She looks like maybe the most toxic person.
It must be really hard for him to find girls willing to shit on him, though. Like, I don't think you really get picky and choosy with the way the girls look when you're finding girls that are willing to shit on you in the first place. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hold on. Nobody's given her backlash for... Maybe she's into shitting on people.
Here's what I'm saying, though. Everybody's saying it might be a lie. She has no reason to lie. She's also part of this shitty story.
What do you mean, clout?
She already has clout. She's Chief Keef's baby mama. She's not looking for like her. Yeah, but she already has money and shit.
Chief Keef.
I guess everybody wants more clout and more money.
When was the last time Chief Keef was relevant?
That's true. I guess OBJ is basically a tier A celebrity, and Chief Keef's like scraping the bottom of tier C level at this point.
He used to be hot, like when we were in like high school.
Physically hot? He never was good. That's the other thing. He was just popular.
Hey, come on.
What, you like Chief
Sosa?
Keef?
Sosa was good.
It's popular. Yeah, I mean, I felt like we definitely had to talk about OBJ. I think OBJ likes getting shit on. I don't think, like, why? She has no reason to lie. Like, nobody.
Clout.
100%. But the clout would have been, hey, I've sucked Odell Beckham Jr.'s dick. She lost clout by saying, Odell Beckham Jr. shits on me, or I mean, on Odell Beckham Jr. She could have just made up a normal story.
Yeah, but I feel like a story like this, like, it just stands out. Like, if a girl says, yeah, I sucked OBJ's dick, like, how many girls have sucked? A lot of girls have sucked OBJ's dick. Like, that's not a huge story. Like,
that's true. Did you see the video? She's like, yeah, he asked me to send a video of me shitting, and
I tried to make it as sexy as I could for him. Like, probably, like, right titty out, wiping. Like, I don't know.
OBJ is still my 10th ranked receiver, but I there's a part of me that's lost a little bit of respect for the guy. But that being said, he goes out there and shoots his shot and gets shit on.
Oh, my goodness.
What's going on? What are you looking at?
These puppies are getting real close to each other. There's a second here where I think Nova might cuddle this puppy.
Okay, we're taking a pause to see what happens here. All right, so we're down one dog, and no, Nova didn't kill Rhea. We just had to let one go. These puppies were getting a little
rambunctious. We thought she was going to cuddle her for a second there, and she sniffed her a little bit and then said, nope, not for me.
Not for me. moving on, we talked about OBJ liking shit. Let's move. Enough about OBJ and shit. I'm getting sick over here. Let's talk about Leonard Fournette moving to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We talked ad nauseum last week, released the episode after Fournette got traded or signed with Tampa Bay. None of the teams we talked about were Tampa Bay.
Yeah, not one.
That's unfortunate.
I just didn't see it happening. Like, it's like, why would they?
But like, we did say whatever team he went to, it would completely fuck up the running back situation there.
Yeah.
It did.
I mean, Ronald Jones, too. I was taking a little bit of stock in him because I thought he could be a touchdown guy, but like, I wasn't drafting him a lot.
I don't know.
It really sucks if you drafted Fournette in like the third round or something, trying to steal like fill your RB2 spot when there was like it was dwindling down a little bit. But
well, I mean, those people are stoked that they at least got something out of him now. At least he's on a team now. Well, I was kind of getting on Ronald Jones. I was coming around on him because I was like, yo, this guy had 1,000 yards in an offense that barely ran the ball. He was only 20 years old. Like, things were looking up for Ronald Jones, honestly. Keyshawn Vaughn wasn't doing well in the – he had COVID for a bit during offseason. He wasn't really standing out in the offseason. I don't know. I thought Ronald Jones was going to have a huge impact, and now I feel like everybody has no impact kind of thing. They're all going to have football, like real football impact, but none of them are going to be fantasy relevant, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's even tough because, like, Fournette's entire value last year came from receiving. There's just, like, Mike Evans, Rob Gronkowski, OJ Howard. Like, all these guys are there now. Like,
and receiving backs. Like, LeSean McCoy, for whatever he is, they took him because he can catch out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. That's really the only reason they grabbed him, right?
Yeah.
It sucks for – I guess it's a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel for Fournette owners because maybe he's going to be relevant by midseason. He could be their RB1. You got a little consolation prize considering you drafted him as your RB2 when he was on Jacksonville. So
not great hearing Bruce Arians say that
Rojo's still won.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not it. Well, but he just got there, right? They're not going to completely abandon on Rojo now.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I guess I'm not taking it. We have an auction league, and I copped Ronald Jones for like $2. And like, I'm happy see at what that. Happens. But yeah.
Yeah.
Past that, not interested really.
Yeah.
Tell us what's going on.
That's Fournette. I feel like we should, you know, touch base because that's a big fantasy move. Mm-hmm. It fucks up the Tampa Bay backfield, and then it gives Fournette at least some value more than zero what he had before last week, right? And then another thing that happened just today is Von Miller's out for the season. Obviously, that doesn't really impact fantasy football too much, but everybody loves Von Miller. Like, he's unanimously loved in the NFL, I feel like.
Yeah, there's just, like, he's sick.
He's cool. A fucking chicken farmer.
Yeah.
Like, the guy rips. I love the guy.
Yeah, and he's often on a podcast that both of us really enjoy, pardon my take.
Yeah,
he's just a cool guy. He sits there and he talks shit with the boys. Like, it's cool.
Yeah, we haven't brought up Pardon My Take, but boy, I love those boys. I feel like I'm a big cat type. What do you think?
You every day I wake up and I say, wow, that guy is big cat. Yeah. Oh, no, that's Aaron.
Big cat is daddy. I should call him daddy cat. Yeah, so Von Miller off this year, that sucks. It really affects the Broncos' chances, honestly. He's their best defensive player by far. Their defense is, they do have a lot of pass rushers to kind of, you know, fill the void.
Yeah, but Bradley Chubb could have a big, big year.
He could be, yeah, he could be poised for a big season for sure. But T's and P's to Von Miller and all the Broncos fans out there. It's not looking like a good going to be a good season, especially because the Chiefs are in your division. So it's going to be a rough couple of seasons.
Yeah, maybe things are looking out for your offense, but that's a big hit on defense.
Yeah.
Big, big hit.
Absolutely. Next thing.
Jesus Christ, that's funny.
Next thing, we're going to do our fuckhead check. I'm sure not everybody, but most of the people listening to this probably had their draft Labor Day weekend, maybe the weekend before, but everybody's got their team now. I think everybody's drafted. Let's do a quick recap of our draft, our fantasy fuckheads. That's our main league. Mm-hmm. You had the first pick. What did your team end up looking like?
So, actually, against my words about Saquon being number one in this league, I picked up Christian McCaffrey number one overall. I did it simply because I have Saquon in another one of our leagues, and I wanted to change it up a bit, have a little fun. Like, they're both going to be great. I have no doubt about it. So, yeah, and then my RB2 is Chris Carson. We all know how I feel about Chris Carson. Amazing. I think he was, like, the last slot for an RB1. My wide receiver one is Amari Cooper. My wide receiver two is Cooper Kupp. My tight end is Darren Waller. I got in the flex, I got DK sitting there all nice and pretty.
I love Darren Waller and DK.
And then my next two picks, I actually got roasted on a little bit because I hadn't filled two of my last bench spots.
Yeah, well,
but I picked the 49ers D and then my boy Justin Tucker. I was just like, well, like all of these guys, like, it's a lottery ticket. Like, very rarely are your last two picks ever going to play on your team.
Yeah, but a kicker's never won you a league.
So what? But why not grab the best kicker available? But why not grab the best kicker in the league and most likely the best defense in the league? And then I don't really have to worry about
that. Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah. Hey, that's
good. Yeah, that's the way I thought about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I got a lot of guys. I got Brandon Cooks. I got Jerry Judy. I got Chris Thompson as a little sleeper pick in there.
You got a lot of guys that you liked going into the season. Yeah. Like a lot of guys you were really high on before.
And that's. I think it's really because I was willing to reach for them farther than their ADP.
And more this season than ever before because I'm more studied just because I have a podcast. I was willing to reach way higher than ADPs. Yeah. Like most of the team's ESPN projections, I'm super low because I went lower than, like, I overdrafted people because that's how I felt this season. I don't care what the projections say, you know?
Yeah.
Well, let's do a quick recap of Isaiah's team. Isaiah was drafting from the fourth spot and surprised everybody. Honestly, I think our entire league thought he was going Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
He had been talking about it. He did an auction league and drafted him in a different league, and he went Clyde Edwards-Helaire at number four, and I applaud it, honestly. Yeah. You got to go out and shoot your shot.
We were in a video call, and everyone screamed.
Yeah, that one got the boys going. Woo! Yeah, everybody was pumped on CEH pick, so hopefully that pans out. RB2 is David Johnson, who's also, I mean, as an RB2, like, is fucking solid. Your wide receiver one's Chris Godwin, who I love as a wide receiver one, too. Like, considering that you had David Johnson as your RB2 and still got Chris Godwin as a wide receiver one, it's a good draft. And for reference as well, running backs in our draft went
so fast.
So fast.
Mark Ingram is an RB2.
Yeah. Yeah, I drafted Cam Akers at the end of the second round because he was the best available running back. That's insane. Yeah. That's insane. Anyways, that's a separate topic. Chris Godwin's wide receiver one for Isaiah. Terry McLaurin's is wide receiver two. Tight end is Hunter Henry. Flex is Devin Singletary. Broncos D, Robbie Gould. Hollywood Brown on the bench. I won't go through the full bench, but Singletary, decent. As a flex, I like it. It's just because he's a running back that could return more value, and running backs are more valuable, you know? But McLaurin, I'm not really high on. What do you think about the end of Isaiah's team there?
I'd actually have to pull it up real quick here. I was just going off what you were saying.
McLaurin, Hunter Henry, Devin Singletary, you like them?
I like a little bit of HH. Is HH
Double
on
H.
his bench? Or is that
HH
his tight
end is starting TE.
I don't mind that.
Right. He's got Hollywood Brown on the bench, too, which I know you're a huge fan
of. Yeah, I love Hollywood Brown. I'm actually going to try and convince Isaiah to trade him to me.
Ooh.
For maybe a little some.
Well, we're also going to do a
I'll give you, you know what? Isaiah, I'll offer you a trade right now. I'll give you Antonio Brown for Hollywood Brown.
Whoa.
They're cousins.
Whoa.
And we know Antonio Brown's better. Come on, Isaiah. What do you think about it?
Don't do it, Isaah. That's a hard no. You didn't even fucking dignify that with an answer. Just a scowl.
We'll talk week eight when he's not suspended anymore.
We're gonna do a convince Isaiah a little later on Devin Singletary and Hollywood Brown. So we won't get too far into his flex plays there. But I mean, all in all, solid draft for Isaiah considering it's a 12-team league and we take his shit pretty seriously. Yeah. I'll go through my team. I gotta be honest, I was a little disappointed with the 12th pick. There was literally 11 players that I was like, okay, I want these 11 players in the first round no matter what. I have the 12th pick. So in all likelihood, I'll probably get one of them because there's no way all 11 go, right? All 11 exactly like I wanted went. I was left with my worst nightmare, Miles Sanders, Aaron Jones, Kenyon Drake, or Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Julio Jones. Oh my God. So I went Aaron Jones, who I don't feel is an RB1, yeah, but I felt had the best chance out of those guys to be an RB1. And that's cool with me. That's cool with me. And I was going to go RB because I was like, well, I don't have my RB1. I might as well get two solid running backs. But I felt the value at receiver was still there. So I went with Aaron Jones, RB1, Tyreek Hill, wide receiver 1.
Yep.
Solid. And then, like I said, the running backs went so fast. By the time I got to pick 22 picks later, Cam Akers was my best available running back. And I had to take him because I wasn't picking for another 22 more picks after, right? So I got Cam Akers and Calvin Ridley. I picked Calvin Ridley over OBJ, and I got fucking some people looked at me real weird.
Yeah, I definitely would not have done that.
That's fine. You know, I'm all in on Calvin Ridley this season.
I get it.
I got him in a couple leagues.
I just I was questioning it a little bit just because I know you have OBJ ranked higher than Calvin Ridley.
I have to. Like, I think OBJ is going to have, like I've said this before, OBJ definitely has a better chance of finishing top 20.
Yeah.
But I think Calvin Ridley has the chance to finish top 5. Like, I think he's this year's Chris Godwin, where the Atlanta offense just explodes.
OBJ could have a shitty season.
Yeah. Yeah, his offseason's been the shits, man.
although I do really like the color of the Cleveland Browns jersey. I think the shit color is really going to give him some wins.
The Cleveland Steamer Browns?
Yeah.
My tight end's Hayden Hurst, who's been my upper, whatever you want to call it. I love that boy. I think he's going to return dividends.
Do you love him or do you love Atlanta?
I love Atlanta. And, yeah. I mean, I think he's a good-looking guy. Just kidding. He's fucking ugly shit. Devontae Parker and my flex. Patriots defense is because they're playing the Dolphins week 1. And then Kai Fairbairn's my kicker. Other matters. I got J.K. Dobbins, Tevin Coleman on the bench, though. And then Cam Newton in case he goes off, you know? Yeah, picking from the 12th spot sucked, though. I'll be honest. I feel like I don't have an RB1, and it makes my team look like shit.
Yeah, especially in a non-PPR league.
Exactly.
That shit sucks.
Exactly.
Non-PPR 12 team. That's rough.
Now, we're in two other leagues together. Did you get anybody else in those two other leagues that you thought were steals or anything like that? Anything you want to talk about?
Let me hop over to them real quick. I did get, I know in I have in the same, or in my 10-team league, I have Amari Cooper and Cooper Kupp again as my wide receivers. So I'm pretty stoked on that.
I got a question actually before you continue.
Sure.
How do you feel about having the same players in more than one league?
Because
I think most people that are like dedicated, not dedicated, but are big fantasy football fans, probably play in more than one league. Yeah. So there's kind of two philosophies, right? There's either I like my players. If I think that Calvin Ridley's going to go off, I want Calvin Ridley in three leagues so that I'm triple winning. Or do you spread it out? Maybe go this guy here, this guy there, just in case one of them gets injured or doesn't have a good season. How do you do that?
I don't really care about having the same guys in the same league. But when it comes to having like Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey, like that's cool to me. Like, I get, like, the two consensus, like, best players in fantasy, and I get to, like, have them both.
Yeah.
So, like, that's cool to me. Yeah. That's why I did that. But as far as, like, my wide receivers and all that, like, I wasn't too concerned about it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, like, I don't know. I have Matt Ryan in two leagues. I have Amari Cooper, Cooper Kupp. I think I have Evan Engram in two leagues. Yeah. I have 49ers D in two leagues. Like, yeah, I don't mind it.
The way you're kind of saying is kind of how I see it is like if there's two guys in the same tier, like how you say Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley, I mean, they're 1A and 1B, right? So like you don't really view one of them as that much higher than the other. Maybe spread it up then. Like as an example that comes to my mind is Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. They're actually right beside each other in my rankings. I might go Cooper Kupp one team, Robert Woods another team, just because like I really don't feel that differently about them. Mm-hmm. So I might as well switch it up kind of. But if I'm picking between a player that I have four picks – or I have him four guys ahead of another guy, but I'm thinking about picking him because I want... No, pick the guy that has more value. Pick the guy that's better. You're going to win fantasy football if you have the best players, right? Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of a recap of our draft. Who else did you have, though? Sorry, I kind of interrupted you and went with your philosophy. So you said you had the same receiving core in two leagues.
Yeah, in two leagues. And then in the same league that I have Amari Cooper and Cooper Kupp in, I have Derrick Henry and Aaron Jones, so I'm actually pretty stoked about it. I think this team is pretty nasty. Yeah. This is 10 teams, so it's a little bit easier to stack your team. But, I mean, whatever. I mean, and then let me just hop over to my auction league. I got DJ. I got DJ as my RB2 in one league, which I'm pretty stoked about, and Devontae Adams is my wide receiver 1, and AJ Brown is my wide receiver 2.
Solid. That's auction, right?
Yeah.
That's solid.
Which is half-point PPR. This is more like a fun league. It's a half-point PPR, and then we have 3 IDP. So, yeah, it's kind of just a weird, fun little league. Something different.
Yeah. I kind of like auction more, because obviously everybody knows this, but you have the ability to get any player you want. Yeah. If you think a player's worth $5 more than their average draft value, you can go out and get them, and that's kind of the fun part about it. But the draft lasts fucking forever.
It is, and the thing I really enjoy about it is that I get to watch my friends really not know what they're doing.
Yeah, when it's just a normal snake draft, you just pick the next guy there. You don't have to know what you're doing.
One of the guys we drafted with,
name him by name.
Nope. Tabby Sumastre.
Nope. Okay. It's names of Raptor. Nope. Tabby Sumastre.
You talked about drafting Cam Akers as your RB2. Tabby wouldn't even bid on Cam Akers as his RB1 or anything.
Who
did he get as his RB1 again? I wonder.
His RB1 was Kenyon Drake. He didn't bid on players unless they were wildly under their value.
He waited until he was like, I am not paying a cent over what they're worth.
What their projected worth was. Just for reference, he had $151 out of $200 when the players were going for about $7. Yeah. So that's like, if you know anything about auction draft, it's like you literally can't even spend the amount of money that he had left. It was ridiculous. But then
just a point of reference, I paid $36 for Devontae Adams. He paid $51 because it was the last person he had drafted for Jamal Adams. The safety.
Yeah, we had IDPs there. So nobody wants to hear too much about our fantasy leagues. I figured you guys could, you know, just wanted to hear maybe the guys we ended up drafting.
Yeah, we're going to cheer them on throughout the season.
I did, yeah.
Fantasy fuckheads is what we're really going to be going for, though.
Yeah, exactly. We're doing fuckhead checks. We're not doing, you know, these other league checks. We want to make sure we're not confusing you guys, you know. But, you know, in some of my other leagues, I got Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Joe Mixon in the 10-team league, which was fucking nuts, I thought. Those are my two running backs. Are you kidding? Yeah. And then Kenny Golladay, Robert Woods. Love that. And then, you know, in another league, I got Derek. In the auction league, I got Dak Prescott, Derek Henry, Josh Jacobs, Kenny Golladay, Calvin Ridley, Darren Waller, Devontae Parker. That's, like, all the guys I like. Like, all the guys I actually, like, I'm super high on. I got.
Real quick, in the league where you got CEH, how many rookie running backs do you have?
Oh, fucking 4?
This guy went all out on the rookie running backs in this league.
My name is literally Young Rich Ninjas, because everybody on my team is 25 or under. I swear to God. Russell was my oldest player. I got CEH, Joe Mixon, Kenny Golladay, Robert Woods, Hayden Hurst, Jonathan Taylor, DK Metcalf, J.K. Dobbins, Sterling Shepard, Zach Moss. Literally all these guys are like 22 years old. That's going to be great. A lot of upside on that team. We're going to crush. So yeah, I don't even know if we've even said what this episode is. This is just our week 1 preview, eh?
Yeah. Excited for football season.
Yeah.
We're not too organized. We've had a big week.
We're off the cuff.
Our house actually had a major water leak we've been dealing with yesterday, or for the past 3 days, really. Yeah. We cleaned up a lake out of our boiler room today.
Yeah, literally.
I was mopping it for about an hour, and then Aaron came in and said, oh, my mom has a shop vac. I said, oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. Sorry, buddy. I didn't know what you were up to down here. I thought we were just letting it leak. we've been leaking all weekend. We've been dealing with puppies. We've been drafting all weekend. We've been drinking. So we're a little less organized. Yeah. That might be more fun. Maybe this is the new wave.
And poker opened up this weekend, too. I've only gotten to go play once.
Made a quick buck, though, eh?
I made $600 in 4 hours, so not terrible.
That'll fucking do. That is more than I made in any single day of work to this point.
Yeah, not too bad, but the puppy is really eating into my poker time.
Oh, yeah, the puppy is the be-all and end-all right now. We literally have a schedule for people to come and see it right now.
Yeah, my dad's coming to watch her tomorrow morning so I can go grocery shopping. So,
but one thing I want to say, the reason this episode is a little less organized too is we kind of also planned this. We're going to do a preview episode every week, right? And this is the week 1 preview. There's not much to preview. We haven't seen any preseason. Nothing has really changed between when you drafted your fantasy football team and week 1. And there's not really much news. Maybe, oh, Adrian Peterson got cut and signed by Detroit. Like, there's a couple of little things, right? Yep. But there's not much that's changed. So, like, one thing I want to say right off the bat is just don't get cute. Play the guys you drafted. There's really only a couple of maybe the flex play. Do I play this guy or that guy? Like, don't play, like, you're not playing CeeDee Lamb week one. You're not playing, like, all these lottery ticket guys week one. You don't, maybe, you're not playing J.K. Dobbins week one. Like, you know who you're playing. You're playing the starters, the guys that you drafted. Don't get cute with it. Don't try and be smarter than fantasy football, you know? Wait, and if I'm wrong about CeeDee Lamb, if he scores 30 points, I would rather be a week late on starting him than a week too early when he scores 4 or 0.4 points, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, don't get cute. Don't be cute, you know, and start the vets too. Like, we're really high on a lot of rookies, and we're actually going to talk about rookies that we're comfortable starting week one because there is a couple. But, like, start the vets. It's a COVID offseason. Nobody's gotten any preseason.
Yeah,
there's no development there. I think just don't get cute. Start your starters.
And if you're thinking about, like, playing, I will say this: if you're thinking about playing a solid wide receiver versus a solid running back in your flex, go with the running back. kind of what I'm thinking here.
What if it's a committee though? Like, if you
they're solid backs, but, like, they're not gonna get any touches, kind of thing.
Well, if it's like
Philip, I'll try and think of an example.
Think of an example right now. If it's Philip Lindsay versus DJ Chark, boom, that's a great example.
That is a good example.
See, that's tough, right? Like, Lindsay's a great running, but we all know the situation. Lindsay's great. He's going to get some touches. We don't know what the offense is, right? And then DJ Chark is in a terrible offense, but he's all they got.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So
it's a tough one. I think the running game is just going to take over week one, like, really what I'm feeling here. That being said, I am going to argue for one wide receiver a little bit later in the episode.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. I feel that's more of a philosophy thing. I think that there's more of an upside chance of, like, serious breakout with DJ Chark. Like, I don't think Philip Lindsay has, like, a 20-point game in him, but I definitely think Chark could do that, if that makes sense. But Lindsay also has a higher chance of scoring 10. So, that's don't get cute. That's your own decision to make. But but right now, Philip Lindsay or DJ Chark, you got to make a decision. We're on the podcast. Go.
Well, I wouldn't draft either of them.
No, they're on your team. Sorry.
I'd probably play Philip Lindsay, to be honest with you.
All right, cool. I'm glad we got an answer out of you. I think I'd play Trent, to be honest. But let's go to our first little bit here is rookies that were comfortable starting week one. There's a ton of rookies, and this is also the COVID offseason. That means they didn't get a chance to do preseason. They've only had 14 padded practices in the NFL. Now, there's a couple of guys I think are obvious. You're starting CEH. You drafted him in the first round or possibly the second round if you're very lucky. You're starting CEH,
you're
right?
Literally never not starting him.
Yeah, exactly. Even if he has a shady week one and a shady week two, you're starting him week three.
I'm never not starting a round one pick.
It takes a long time. It takes a long time. Well, Joe Mixon, you there was a couple of...
No, I started him... I think I started him every single week flex.
It's a fucking miracle you made it to the finals. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but did.
start CEH again.
I think just a testament to how good my team actually was, to be fair, but...
Okay. Okay, sixth seed, but won the championship. Whatever. Most teams wouldn't even have a sixth seed be in the playoffs.
I won the championship with my round one pick, basically not playing, so...
Right on. Okay. I just said it, right? Don't get cute. You're playing CEH. You drafted him in the first two rounds. Next guy, though, Cam Akers. I got him as my RB2. I kind of really have no fucking choice but to play him. How do you feel about playing Cam Akers?
I love Cam Akers, but the report that came out this morning was that they're going to start with a committee backfield. But that being said, like, I was drafting him in my flex, and I would be very comfortable starting him in my flex.
So basically you are comfortable starting. Yeah. Sean McVay said there's going to be a committee backfield, but Daryl Henderson's supposed to be fucking injured week one. So that means it's going to be Malcolm Brown and Cam Akers. Yeah. I've never seen Cam Akers play in the NFL, but I know he's better than Malcolm fucking Brown. That Malcolm Brown has fucked me over too many times in my life. Too many fucking times.
How many times did you say?
4 to 5. And Todd Gurley is also a part of that fucking me in the ass. Whatever. Todd Gurley's fucked me in the ass too. Because I go with Malcolm Brown because they say Todd Gurley is injured and a stupid bitch or whatever. And then I play Malcolm Brown and then Todd Gurley still gets 20 carries for 42 yards and 2 touchdowns. Yeah. Don't get me started. Don't get me started about Malcolm Brown. There's a lot of people, a lot of Malcolm Brown truthers out there right now. And I think you guys are all wrongers, but you're not the right wrongers. Boom. Let's go. Jonathan Taylor, you starting him week one?
I am. Again, another guy that I'm really comfortable starting in my flex. Maybe not my RB2 spot, but I'm okay seeing what he has in my flex for sure.
if anybody's a Jonathan Taylor truther, it's this guy, and I'm pointing at me, okay? Jonathan Taylor is going to fucking run rampant on the Jaguars week one. I think he's going to have the job all to himself week two. I think they're going to do a committee backfield, and Marlon Mack is going to do well, and Jonathan Taylor is just going to... I think he's going to run all over Jacksonville. Play him, play him, play him. If he's in your flex and you've got a receiver or whatever, I don't know who you're thinking about not starting, but play Jonathan Taylor. Play Jonathan Taylor. That is my advice. I think he's going to run away with the job week one right off the bat. Jacksonville is a terrible fucking defense. They've gotten rid of a lot of their defensive players in the last 2 years. I can't even name somebody on their defense right now. Is AJ Boye still there? No, he's not.
Josh Allen,
the defensive lineman. He's not even the best Josh Allen in the league. Yeah, I'm not. Whoa!
Did you just say something kind of nice about Josh Allen?
If that's what's nice about Josh Allen, then sure.
Because Josh Allen is pretty good. Like, the defensive player is actually pretty fucking good.
I'm just on a rant. He's not... Sorry. but play Jonathan Taylor.
Big Buffalo Bills guy, this guy.
Oh, relax. Coming from the Browns fan over there. Fucking pipe down.
Hey, come on. My receiver's going through a rough time, man. Shit. He's going through some shit.
DeAndre Swift.
I mean, I'm not playing him, to be fair. But, I mean, I can understand why you would... think that you should. I'm not taking any stock in the Detroit Lions running game.
I think depending on when you drafted, a lot of people have to play DeAndre Swift. And that's the real tragedy here, I think.
Yeah. One of our boys, Nathan, is going to have to play him, and I don't like it.
Well, Nathan's all in on the Detroit Lions backfield.
Yeah, he drafted every one of them except for Adrian Peterson.
The one who might actually have the most value exactly. for his ADP. Yeah. I think Adrian Peterson going... like if we... we literally had a post on our Instagram about how the Detroit backfield you should stay away from, and then they threw in possibly the greatest running back of all time into their backfield mix. So if it was a muddle before, what is it now? It's fucked. Yeah,
I don't want anything to do with them. I'm not confident starting any of them.
If I was, honest to God, if I was somebody that had Swift or Kerryon Johnson, I would be looking to trade them to somebody that values them as a starter now, because they're not going to be starters really fucking soon. That's my honest opinion.
I think one of them is going to take the job.
I don't, man. They're going to run with the committee. They didn't bring Adrian Peterson in there and also draft DeAndre Swift and also have high hopes for carrying out. Like, they're going to give all of them a bit of a leash. Maybe one of them runs away with the job, but are they really going to do that? Are they not going to give Adrian Peterson carries at all?
Yeah, no, he's going to get carries. Exactly. He's going to get like 150 carries this season.
T's and P's to Detroit Lions backfield.
Yeah.
J.K. Dobbins.
Sorry, Nathan.
Sorry, Nate, buddy. J.K. Dobbins.
No, I'm not starting J.K. Dobbins in any leagues yet. I think it's going to take at least like 3-4 weeks before, if he does take the job, it's going to take a few weeks because they love Mark Ingram and he's solid.
Yeah, I 100%
agree. He knows the playbook. He knows everything about the team.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take the job for at least the first 3-4 weeks.
I love J.K. Dobbins this season. I definitely don't love him week one. Like you said, week three is probably when he's going to break out. I'm not going to start him until I see him get 15 carries. I'm not going to gamble on when the game is that he gets 15 carries.
Mm-hmm.
Let Harbaugh show me he's going to give him 15 carries before I predict it. Like, I'm smarter than their head coach. You know what I mean? I
think, honestly, what it's really going to take for J.K. Dobbins to get, like, a real, real shot is garbage time. Like, I think he's just going to have to, like, break out in garbage time, and they're going to be like, what the fuck?
I think the same thing about Jonathan Taylor. I think Jonathan Taylor's a little bit more in a better position, a little bit more talented. He's going to play so well, they have to play him. That's what's going to have to happen with J.K. Dobbins, and it remains to be seen when he's actually... he plays the Browns this week, so...
yeah, that's a divisional game. It's a big game.
Say what you want about how bad or good the Browns are, how good the Ravens are. It's always going to be a close game when it's in interdivisional, right?
Miami Dolphins beat the Pats last year.
Yeah, it happened 2 years ago. Did they beat them last year too? Yeah, they did beat them last year. They always beat us last once, actually. It's true. Interdivisional matchups are fucking nuts.
Yep.
J.K. Dobbins, I'm really high on. I've got him in one league, but I'm not starting him this week at all. Yeah. And plus, you didn't draft him to start him. Like I was just saying, don't get cute. You didn't draft J.K. Dobbins to start him. You drafted him with a large ticket for your bench.
Absolutely not. I didn't get him in any leagues, but I definitely wouldn't have drafted him to start him. Exactly. For sure.
And then rookies, you're comfortable starting week one. Last running back, Gibson. Antonio Gibson is his first name, right?
No. I am not starting.
His first name is Antonio Gibson. Yeah. Washington Football Club's running back.
I am blanking on the other running backs' name right now. McKissick.
McKissick just got labeled as the number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just got labeled as the number one. And even that is like, it's Washington.
But like,
sick.
he got named as the number one, and this was less than a week after they just cut Adrian Peterson, which makes me think that McKissick's probably been impressing in the offseason.
Yeah.
Which hey, I'm not saying McKissick, you should go out and grab McKissick. What I'm saying is that really fucked up Gibson's value.
Yeah.
If McKissick's playing so well that Gibson no longer is their starter even, and they lost Adrian Peterson. Yeah. Yeah.
And they have Peyton Barber. They have
they do have Peyton Barber. Bryce Love, the guy that he's Bryce Love, yeah, they have a lot of guys there that could do some damage.
It's a question mark.
Let Ron Rivera rush him 15 times before I even think about playing him. All right, now we're going on to the wide receivers. We'll go a little bit quicker because there's a lot more of them. But a lot of them are starter. Judy, you starting him?
I would if I was in a position to. I would definitely think about it. But like in the leagues I have him with, it's a no-brainer for who I have in my flex.
Yeah.
So I would consider it, though.
Comfortable starting him, but yeah. you probably aren't. Yeah. Ruggs, I feel the exact same way about. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that same way, kind of? I'd probably have Judy and Ruggs ranked the same spot. Mm-hmm. CeeDee Lamb, I don't feel the same way about. I'm not going to start him. I feel like he's going to have a better season. But again, he's a guy I'm really going to need to let show me that he's going to be the wide receiver three or wide receiver
two. CeeDee Lamb is very intriguing to me week one because the Rams secondary has Jalen Ramsey. So he's going to be on Amari Cooper the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you're trying to challenge Ramsey a lot, you're going to be throwing to Michael Gallup. You're going to be throwing to CeeDee Lamb. He's intriguing to me this week. I'm not like super comfortable, but I'm definitely considering starting him.
I don't know. The Rams in 2019 only allowed 19.5 fantasy points per game. That was top 10. And I don't know. They haven't really changed much on their defense. Jalen Ramsey is the reason that shuts down receivers, though. And if he's the wide receiver three, I guess he's not stealing much Jalen Ramsey.
Exactly.
It's a good defense to kind of prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Prove what he's going to be. Justin Jefferson. I actually would consider starting Justin Jefferson.
Yep. It's simple. Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, both relevant receivers.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I'm wide receiver two, like, way easier to think about than a fucking RB2 on a team because, like, there's plenty to go around.
But I have heard some reports from camp that he's not really impressing as much as we thought he would. But, I mean, whatever. There's no preseason. Sometimes people are just gamers, right? Practice isn't their thing. But, I don't know. I'm wishy-washy Justin Jefferson. I think he's going to be a target machine in that offense.
Yeah.
Jalen Reagor, if he's healthy.
Probably not.
No, I'm saying hard no.
No. Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert are going to be the number one receiver.
I'm not even sold on how talented Jalen Reagor is, period, to be honest.
Yeah, and they drafted him after Justin Jefferson. Could you imagine being the Eagles?
Yeah, before Justin Jefferson.
Before Justin
Jefferson. Yeah, since he's been drafted, he's been, he's been going on a downhill trend. He's gotten injured. Mm-hmm. The Eagles' offense isn't great, blah, 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 blah. I'm not starting Jalen Reagor, and I'm honestly not too happy if he's on my team right now. Brandon Ayuk.
Maybe.
If I'm in probably a pinch, not. Deep leagues, I'll start Brandon Ayuk. He's going to be the number one receiver week one, probably.
He could break out. He's the number one wide receiver on his team right now, I think. Like, I think he's the best candidate to be the number one wide receiver until Deebo Samuel gets back.
Mm-hmm.
They do play Arizona. So, I mean, they got some strong safeties.
It's true. I don't know. Peterson's
going to be on him, though.
I want to let
old PP.
Everybody that we're going to talk about from here forward, I'm not starting because I want to see what they really are. So that's how I feel with Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, Duvernay, Mims, and Michael Pittman Jr. All those guys, I'm happy to have them on my team. They're lottery tickets. They're all talented, but there's a lot of question marks around all of them. I need to let them prove it to me, especially week one, dude, with no fucking preseason.
Yeah.
I keep on harping on it, but there's no fucking preseason. They played 14 padded practices.
Especially Higgins and Duvernay, like, Higgins is just in a crowded wide receiver core.
100%. And Baltimore doesn't throw the ball.
And Duvernay is just Cincinnati. Duvernay is going to be...
No, I'm saying Baltimore is Duvernay, isn't he?
Yeah, sorry. I was talking T. Higgins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm saying Duvernay.
Yeah, Baltimore Duvernay is going to... He's receivers. A deep ball guy. So he's going to be like... You're taking the chance on he catches a deep TD.
Might be a good DFS option, actually.
Yeah, maybe. But, like, you're taking that chance, especially in PPR. I'm not even thinking about it.
Roger, 10-4. All the best of those guys. let them show it to me first. Yeah. Don't if you can avoid draft or avoid playing a rookie, I would, unless they're obviously one of the studs that you drafted as a starter. But if you're looking at your flexes and you're saying, should I play this rookie or anybody else that has the same value, go with anybody else because they're rookies and it's COVID offseason. Defenses that were starting week one. I kind of just threw up a bunch up there. I don't have any rankings or anything. Just from the look of it right off the bat, though, I'm not just being a homer. I love Pats versus the Dolphins week one. That's a no-brainer play.
Yeah, it's just it's a question of it with whether Fitzmagic shows up again. That's the big question mark. He threw for I think it was 2 years ago when he threw for 400 yards in like four consecutive games to start off the season. Maybe that happens, but that's the lottery ticket.
Yeah, I don't think
that matchup too.
Your team's playing the Cleveland. They are high on a lot of people's rankings, but I am not that high on it because it's an individual matchup. The Browns have a good offense. Just because they had a bad season last year, we don't know what they're going
to
be like this
season. It's a great test. I'm excited to watch this game.
Oh, it's a great game for week one.
I'm very excited. But it's a challenging matchup for sure. There's a lot of guys, and Nick Chubb just ran a train on the Ravens.
Big time. Did he have 200 rushing yards?
No. But he had three touchdowns and a lot of yards. but yeah, that was their first matchup last year. The other one didn't go as well for them. But yeah,
Bears in Detroit. I'm comfortable playing either of them because that game is going to be 14-11.
Yeah, and we'll talk about this later. But I don't think that's going to be a high scoring game
at all. No, yeah. We got rookie bookie later. We'll give you guys some gambling advice from a couple of amateur ass gamblers themselves. Yeah. But
and then we also have Lions versus Chicago.
As I said, Bears at Detroit, I'm comfortable with either of those defenses because the game's going to be 14-11.
Yeah, and Mitch Trubisky is starting.
Yeah, and Detroit, I don't know. Detroit's running game is – okay, they said this on PMT. I'm all over the map with my thoughts here. They said this on PMT. You just said that Mitch Trubisky's starting. They have to start Mitch Trubisky. If they start Nick Foles, they can't go back to Mitch Trubisky later. You know what I mean? They're not going to let Nick Foles play shitty and then go to their shittier second string quarterback. They have to start Mitch Trubisky, and then once he plays shitty, they can put Nick Foles in. Does that make sense? You're not going to wait till Nick Foles plays shitty and then put in Mitch Trubisky again.
Especially with your starting running back probably sitting out. Like, reports are that David Montgomery is not playing.
Yeah, you let Mitch Trubisky play so that when he plays like shit, everybody understands that Nick Foles is now the quarterback, but if you had played Nick Foles from the beginning, people are like, why do we even have Mitch Trubisky at all?
I will say this too, Mitch Trubisky, as far as like not having a running back, Mitch Trubisky can run way better than Nick Foles can. So,
okay, but I think Nick Foles can throw the ball better, has a better mind for football.
I just feel like he brings that rushing like little additive to it, especially in a sloppy offense kind of thing that we're expecting.
This hurts me to say, and it's going to hurt you to say even more, but the Eagles playing the Washington Football Club, that's a fucking juicy matchup. Take the Eagles for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think maybe... I mean, yeah. I wouldn't play Carson Wentz because he's going to tear his ACLs, but yeah, play the Eagles defense. Fletcher Cox is a monster.
I'll play that Bills defense versus the Jets too.
Yeah, I'll take that.
And then last one I want to talk about is the Colts at Jacksonville. I'll take that Colts defense for sure. Jacksonville's going to be a mess this season, especially week one.
And they have probably the best linebacker in the league right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe not the best, but he's on his way up there.
Gets the most tackles, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So football starts in fucking 2 days. That's insane, actually. I didn't even realize that. 2 fucking days. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, by the time you hear this, football is going to be on today. Today is football when we release this episode. Today is football, and Sunday is so close. Wow, I just got a weird feeling of anxiety, sort of.
I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm pumped up.
I'm fucking amped. Who are you most excited to see? Like, week one. I don't mean, like, overall. Like, week one, who specifically are you excited to see?
Well, I think this kind of goes without saying, but I'm really interested in seeing what the Ravens players are all about. Lamar Jackson. I'm hoping he comes out as hot as he did last year, and with what we think is going to happen, I think he can run all over run all over a sloppy defense.
Didn't he have 5 touchdowns week one last year? Was it 4?
Five.
A bunch.
Yes.
Miami,
five,
right?
5 yeah. throwing touchdowns.
Jesus.
Not a single rushing one. Hollywood Brown. He could just fucking... Last season, he had, I think, 3 receptions for 160 yards and 2 touchdowns, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Was his debut. So I'm excited to see what they're all about. I'm really excited to see what the vet David Johnson brings to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I agree.
Hopefully he can just I like David Johnson. I hope he can do really well.
Like, I don't, on his new team. I don't love David. I do like David Johnson in fantasy, but I like him more. Like, he's
yeah,
like a good
guy.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. I like him as a player. Like, I'm really, and I have him in fantasy, so that's kind of
that'll help.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what the 49ers D is all about, especially against like a true test of what the new Cardinals offense is like. Especially they just paid DeAndre Hopkins is now the highest paid non QB ever.
Is that true?
Yep.
I thought it was just with wide receiver deal. Wow.
No, highest paid non-QB ever.
Wow.
So we'll see. Maybe he got paid and he gets lazy, but I don't think that happens. No. I think D-Hop is hungry to be the best. So it's a good test for the 49ers D. Excited to see what Nick Bosa brings to the table and if DeForest Buckner is as big of a loss as I think maybe he is, but yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. I love me some Aaron Rodgers. I got him in my main league. He's my QB. And I have Davante Adams in my half-point PPR league. So I'm hoping he goes the fuck off.
Plus, you're just a Green Bay fan.
Fuck off. I'm not a Green Bay fan.
Oh, whoa. I wasn't even trying to call you out. You do like Green Bay. Relax,
just
Browns guy.
Just real quick, the reason I'm a little fucking testy is because the entire time we were drafting, everybody who's listened to the podcast, Aiden, Cleveland Browns fan. Yeah, you love Cleveland. Shut the fuck up.
Big Browns guy.
Okay. Especially you, Liam.
Liam.
Little personal shout out there. Have fun fucking not having a QB week 7. Okay.
I thought it was week 1 he was tearing his ACL.
Well, I mean, maybe he'll play through the ACL injury and then tear his other one.
Right on. I'm super excited for Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. I didn't like either of them for fantasy football purposes. I literally said Kyler Murray, not drafting him. DeAndre Hopkins, one of my downers. I'm excited to see what they are though, like in just real football, you know? Kyler Murray's second year, just a wee little lad. And DeAndre Hopkins, he has a legit wide receiver one. That offense could be scary or it could kind of, I don't know, crash and burn right off the bat. And I'm excited to see what it's all about.
I don't think Arizona wouldn't have paid D-Hop if they weren't so incredibly amazed by him.
Yeah,
I think he's just been going off in camps. So, I'm coming around on D-Hop. I'm coming around. I still have my wide receiver 5, but I'm coming around on him.
No, he's still I like him. I mean, I have him as a wide receiver 7. I don't not like him. He's still wide receiver 1 without doubt. I just don't think he's as high as other people are on him. I don't think he's a unanimous top 5. That being said, I want to see the Cardinals offense, see what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see all the rookie wide receivers.
Yeah.
All of them. Jerry Jeudy, how's he fit in with Denver and Pat Shurmur?
Yeah.
Andrew Locke, second year. Oh, big Denver's offense in general. Going to be a big tell this. The last Von Miller, that's their defense. Whatever. I'm pumped for all the rookie wide receivers. I want Justin Jefferson as their second receiver, Minnesota Vikings. That's going to be huge to see. What value does he bring? CeeDee Lamb, probably the best draft value in the whole draft for the NFL. Coming, fall into the Cowboys as, the fourth, fifth receiver off the board. He should have been the second or first. The Falcons offense, wow, I'm excited for that. Calvin Ridley is who I'm specifically excited about, but I think the Falcons offense is going to be, I don't know, Dallas Cowboys-esque or something.
Do it again. Let's see if Julio, I know Julio's going to do it again.
Todd Gurley is going to be irrelevant as a runner, but he's going to be a very good pass catcher out of the backfield, I think. Jonathan Taylor, I'm really excited to watch him, but I'm also super scared because all offseason I've been just waving his flag, and if he plays like shit, it's going to suck. Josh Jacobs, same thing. I'm excited to see him. They've made every inclination in Las Vegas that he's going to be their number one focal point on their offense. So I'm pumped to see how that goes. I got him in a league. Again, really don't want to be wrong on him. Pumped on Dak Prescott. Big time pumped on Dak Prescott. I think he's got a chance at winning MVP along with Russell Wilson. For sure, those are my MVP favorites. But I don't know, man. I think that this is the year he has 45 touchdowns and shows everybody finally why he deserves a long-term contract. TJ Hockenson, I mean, I'm not super excited about it. I just think...
Could be his breakout year.
Could be a huge breakout year. Everybody was so high on him last year, we kind of lost that hype train. Back on it. Let's go TJ Hockenson. Bucks offense. I'm a Brady guy. I'm a Gronk guy. How do I not be a Bucks guy, you know? Bruce Arians, head coach. Maybe Tom Brady's finally unleashed. And then on the same note, Cam Newton on the Pats.
Yeah, I think that goes without saying.
That goes without saying why I'm excited for that. I mean, I've loved Tom Brady. Every single second Tom Brady gave to the Patriots, I've loved. But Cam Newton at quarterback is a different kind of exciting for Patriots fans. I'm super excited. And then last one is Kenny Golladay. I think he's going to be regarded as like one of the best wide receivers in the NFL by the end of 2021. Yeah. Football's happening, bro.
Yeah, I'm fucking super
excited.
It's
going fucking down. So that's what we're excited about. But now we've got a ye old faithful segment of Convince Isaiah. Isaiah's got Devin Singletary and Hollywood Brown basically wondering who he's going to play in his flex in Fantasy Fuckheads. I think it goes without saying you like Hollywood Brown, right?
Yeah.
No, I could honestly argue for either of these guys, but I could find a good argument with Devin Singletary for sure. So let's rip it. Let's see who Isaiah's going to play in his flex this week. Who goes first? Rock, paper, scissors again? That's what we did last two.
Sure.
Okay. Oh. He gets the W. Okay, do you want me to go first?
Sure. All
right. So, let me preface this by saying, I don't even like Devin Singletary. He was one of my downers going into the season.
But Isaiah got him in two leagues.
But yeah. What,
we even judged him
hard. Are you even listening, bruv? I don't really like Devin Singletary, but you drafted him, right? I don't like Devin Singletary because I think Zach Moss is going to have the job by the end of the season. But Zach Moss doesn't have the job right now. Devin Singletary definitely has the job. Zach Moss is a solid rookie running back. And we didn't even talk about him. We didn't even talk about him as are you comfortable playing him, because nobody's comfortable playing him. He's definitely the second string running back. If there's any week to play Devin Singletary, it's this week. You drafted Devin Singletary to play him, right? Hollywood Brown definitely has a better chance to score you 25 points, go off for like 2 touchdowns, 100 yards, something like that. But Devin Singletary is the running back in Buffalo right now, and they play the Jets. They're going to run a lot. They're going to be ahead, I think, and they're going to be just run out the clock. The whole fourth quarter is going to be Singletary and Zach Moss. Singletary adds more value than Zach Moss as a receiver. I know it's not a PPR league, but if it comes down to them having to throw the ball, Devin Singletary is going to be the one on the field. And Hollywood Brown, it's like a huge question. Like, he could easily lay an egg of zero. There's a way higher chance that Hollywood Brown scores you fucking zero than Devin Singletary. Devin Singletary is definitely going to score you like 5 or 8, no matter what. But Hollywood Brown could just absolutely not catch a single ball. And that's a risk I don't really want to take at flex, where they could absolutely hit a zero, you know? So yeah, Devin Singletary.
Okay. So here's the thing that I have about this. Devin Singletary. If I'm playing the Jets and I have a rookie running back that I'm trying to see how good he is, I'm playing him against the Jets a lot. Oh, and then I also have Josh Allen in my backfield, who scored the most rushing touchdowns for any QB for the past 2 seasons. Wow, you look baked as fuck. The more? Boys have been ripping the vape pens.
I'm giving him some weed. Hey, remember we gave you that weed?
Sorry, it distracted me a little bit here.
No, I couldn't even look him in the eyes. I'm like, he's not even listening, bro. He's picking you because you're down by two. That's what's happening.
Josh Allen is there as well as Zach Moss. And then also, Hollywood Brown is by far the best receiver on the Ravens. Like, we know this. He put on 23 pounds of muscle this offseason. I think he just goes out there, Lamar Jackson's best friend on the Ravens. He's just comfortable throwing to him. He went off for 160 yards last year, 4-2 touchdowns.
I did forget about the butt buddy factor. I forgot about the butt
best
buddy
friends.
Factor.
They have a great connection. I think that Hollywood Brown is a safer start the Devin Singletary.
You can't say safer.
I think he is. To be fair, I wouldn't have touched Devin Singletary with a 10-foot pole.
I wouldn't have touched him either, but I think he's fine in week one. I think the reason you don't touch him is because he's going to suck week six. But week one, he's still the RB1 there.
I disagree.
So you think Zach Moss is going to have more carries than Devin Singletary?
I think they're going to have comparable carries.
And then
Josh Allen being there is another guy taking away carries. And it could be just like a fucking goose egg of a game. It could be a one touchdown each game, and we don't know who's scoring that touchdown. You're basically taking a lottery pick. I'm very confident that the Ravens are going to score more than one touchdown week one.
It's true. That's true. Here's the thing. Zach Moss is super talented, but let's not treat him like he's CEH or J.K. Dobbins or Jonathan Taylor or Cam Akers. Like, he wasn't even close to the best running back in his draft class. So there's as much of a likelihood as there that he's more talented than Devin Singletary, there's also just as much of a likelihood that he's fucking Justice Hill from the Ravens last season. Wasn't he like a second round pick? Justice Hill, I think, was a top 3 round pick. So it's like they liked him, they loved him, they kept him, but like there's a really good chance Zach Moss is just a guy that plays special teams.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not taking any stock in Singletary, and I'm taking as much stock in Hollywood Brown as I could.
All right,
because I've already drafted. So.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough because like, it's true. Like he did put a lot of muscle in on the in the off season for Marquise Brown, and it's gonna be a different Marquise this year than it was last year, and there's so much more of an offense to work with compared to Devin Singletary. You know, sure, he might be RB1, but he might not really be on a successful offense. So I think I'm going to go with Marquise Brown.
Hell yeah, brother.
He's a Ravens fan.
But he's also a Devin Singletary fan. He's got Devin Singletary in two leagues. Like, let's not forget about that.
All right, I'll take that L. I'm still up 2-1, but I'll take that L. We'll see actually next week who wins that, though, right? We'll have an actual
result. That's a shorter-term bet that we can actually see what's going on.
Yeah, we'll have a shorter-term. Yeah. All right, this is rapid fire, okay?
Yeah.
I'm just going to say some guys. These are all flex territory dudes. Now, this is like back in junior high, or not even junior high, elementary school, when you're trying to bag some chicks, and you're sending the notes back, and you're like, yo, yes, no, maybe, do you like me? So that's what this is, okay? Yes, no, maybe. Sure. So, a no means that there's no way you're starting them. There's no way. A maybe is like, you can say maybe is what I'm saying. Like,
can we have a yes, no flex?
Yes, no flex?
Like, I'm not comfortable starting these guys as a starting wide receiver, but maybe as a flex or starting running back, maybe
these are as all, a flex. But these are all flex guys, to be honest with you. I kind of made the list revolving around flex dudes. So they're all kind of flex guys. Yes, okay. No, maybe. All right?
Sure.
Devontae Parker, yes, no, maybe.
No.
Not at all.
Stephon Gilmore and a questionable QB situation.
That's actually a good call. And he's coming in a little banged up.
Yep.
I would say more of a maybe, kind of like if you don't have a better option, I guess play Devontae Parker if he's healthy. But you're right, Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah.
He ate up Stephon Gilmore last year. He actually gave him his fucking lunch last season.
Yeah, it's questionable. Questionable QB situation. Yeah, it's just not for me. I'm not confident starting him at all.
I agree. I'm a Devontae Parker truther, and he's just cracking maybe for me.
Yeah.
T.Y. Hilton versus Jacksonville.
Yes.
100%.
I'm starting him. He is the best wide receiver on his team. Phillip Rivers is a gunslinger. Let's go.
Right on. I agree. I'll have him as a flex, probably because you drafted him to be significantly, like, he might even be your wide receiver too for some people. Yep. I like T.Y. Hilton this game for sure as a veteran playing against a shitty defense. I don't love him season long, but I'm definitely a yes on T.Y. Hilton this game. A.J. Green, Baltimore.
Maybe.
I say maybe as well.
I have him starting. I have him in one of my flex spots. I have two flex spots in one league. I have him starting in one of them. But, like, the Baltimore Ravens have an amazing cornerback core. So
I'm actually going to say no, because I'm looking at AJ Green this season like he's a rookie. This is a rebirth for him. He has a brand new offense, brand new quarterback. He's coming off a significant injury. We don't know what he's going to be like. Like, it's almost like his last, it's as if he's like a first round wide receiver draft pick. His last career doesn't count. This is his new career. I'm going to let Joe Burrow throw him the ball and prove to me that he's actually still a wide receiver one before I play him, I think.
100%.
Jonathan Taylor versus Jacksonville. Yes, no, maybe.
Yes. Oh, Jacksonville sucks.
Yes, 100%. He's going to get the job. I think he's going to finish. He's going to start week one as an RB2, and he's going to finish week one as a possible
fantasy
winner.
Same thing I said about
winner.
Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. If you're trying to get your rookie running back to prove himself, why not do it against a shitty team that he can go build some confidence
for
on?
For sure.
Let's go.
I agree. And I don't really like Marlon Mack. Like, I think Devin Singletary might be better than Marlon Mack. Marlon Mack just finds himself in a really good situation behind the best offensive
best line
in the league.
Yep.
DK Metcalf versus Atlanta.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a shootout, I think. Yeah. I think that it's going to be a lot of points scored in that game. I agree. DK Metcalf is a start.
He's starting in my 12-team league this week.
He's a maybe. I'm going to change it to maybe, because if you have another guy that you're... If you have a running back, like a... I don't know, like a Philip Lindsay even, I might even hit Lindsay on that just because he's got the guaranteed points. DK Metcalf isn't the wide receiver one on his team.
Atlanta sucks. I think if you're talking about DJ Chark over DK Metcalf, that's a problem. I think DK Metcalf is...
You're DK over DJ?
Oh, 100%.
All right, Jay. Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks versus Kansas City. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Yes. I am comfortable starting Brandon Cooks versus Kansas City.
You're going to say yes, not even maybe.
Yes.
Wow, I'm saying maybe. I like Brandon Cooks. I mean, I'm not going to say for sure start him. CeeDee Lamb versus LA Rams.
Maybe, if you have to. I'm comfortable starting him, but I'm definitely comfortable not starting him.
I'm saying no, because there's no way anybody has to. There's no way anybody has to.
I mean,
they, unless, like, fucking, who could you? You had Leonard Fournette,
Haddock,
and you had Adrian Peterson
that
or something.
Was Haddock's first bench spot. That's rare, but, like,
yeah, I don't know. I'd say no. I'm gonna let. I said this already. I want to see how he fits into that Dallas offense before I commit to him. Tariq Cohen versus Detroit.
No,
I think he's safe. I think maybe. If you're in a pinch, he's going to score you points.
I'm basically not starting any of the Chicago offense.
If it's full point PPR, I would start Terry Cohen. Full point. David Montgomery's not playing week one.
I know, but like at the same time, it's like I have no confidence in them. The only one I'm considering playing is Allen Robinson.
Considering you have to play Allen Robinson. He's guaranteed. Mm-hmm. He's people's wide receiver 1/2. Like, you have no choice but to play him.
Yeah, I know. And I'm not taking much stock in him, to be honest.
But yeah, like, I don't have him. I'm happy I don't have him, but if I had him, I'd play.
If we're talking about the Bears defense, that's the only person I'm starting.
Jerry Jeudy versus Tennessee.
I would consider it, maybe.
Of all the rookie wide receivers, he's the one I'm starting.
Yeah.
Tennessee's got a good offense, a good defense, not amazing defense. Like, I'm going to start him with a bit of confidence, honestly. They have a middle-of-the-pack defense. They allowed 21.9 fantasy points per game to receivers last year.
Yep.
Carlton Sutton's good. Jerry Jeudy might be better, which is kind of scary. Yeah.
If I was in a pinch, I would start Jerry Jeudy.
He's the only one that I would consider, like, actually, like, pulling off a veteran and putting Jeudy on. Ruggs versus Carolina, I just said he's a maybe. Like, I'm not saying yes like I am with Jeudy. He's a maybe for me.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're basically – you're banking on him going for – getting a 100-yard touchdown.
Yeah, he's Deshaun Jackson-esque.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Yeah, he needs a big play.
You're banking on that lottery of a play.
For sure. Melvin Gordon versus Tennessee?
I'm not, no. I mean, I'm definitely – maybe. I guess I have to give him a maybe. He's a good running back, but like –
but we just said that we might start Phillip Lindsay. So if you might start Phillip Lindsay, then you definitely start Melvin Gordon, right? Maybe.
Yeah, I get it. I just feel like Melvin Gordon's new to the offense. Phillip Lindsay's not new to the offense. Maybe they go with Phillip Lindsay week one.
I say Melvin Gordon's actually a definite yes for me. I'm not happy if he's on my team, but if he's on my team, I'm definitely playing him. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of have to. Sterling Shepard versus Pittsburgh.
No.
In a pinch, I'd say maybe.
It's just tough. Pittsburgh has a great defense.
I'm big on Sterling Shepard this year.
Yeah, I don't know. He's just not even the best receiving option on his team. Really, Saquon and
might
Evan,
be.
I think Evan Ingram and Saquon are the best receiving options.
Okay, but they're not receivers. They might be receiving stuff.
That's not
stuff.
What I'm saying. They're the best receiving option on their teams.
True. Okay. DJ.
Yeah. No.
That's you want to say anything more about Sterling?
No.
Okay. DJ Chark versus Indiana. First Indianapolis. Take two.
Yeah.
DJ Chark Jr. versus Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I'm starting him. I'm not. I didn't take any stock in him, so
I'm starting him. I like him. He's the number one receiver. Gardner Minshew's better than we think. I'm starting him for sure. Indianapolis doesn't have a scary ass defense.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, now that I look at it, they did have. They allowed 23.9 fantasy points per game. 24.6 fantasy points per game last year. That's I mean, bottom 10. Michael Gallup versus LA Rams.
Maybe same boat as CeeDee Lamb.
I'm definitely starting him.
I just think that Jalen Ramsey's gonna be on Amari Cooper, so I mean. Why would Dak Prescott pick the hardest matchup to throw to?
Yeah, but Michael Gallup's like what I said about CeeDee Lamb, like I'm going to wait for all of them to prove it to me. Michael Gallup has proved it to me. Mm-hmm. If I drafted him, it's probably because I liked him kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
I would play, if you have Michael Gallup, play him. Cam Akers versus Dallas?
It's tough. The report scares me, but like I would be comfortable starting him in my flex.
Fuck you. You said that just because you know he's my RB2, didn't you?
No, that's genuinely how I feel, and I'm a Cam Akers guy. I like him. Dallas is a good defense. It's tough.
He's my RB2, and I'm not fucking stoked about it, but if you have Cam Akers, I think you're playing him. Deontay Johnson versus New York Giants.
Yes.
No, I'm saying no. I'm actually not even saying maybe. I'm saying no.
I'm considering it. The Giants blow, and Ben Roethlisberger is a gunslinger.
Yeah, I got a sour taste. Like, I like Deontay Johnson's talent. He's another guy. I'm going to wait for him to show it to me before I commit to it. Mm-hmm. And even more so, I think I might even need two games out of him before I fully believe in him. There's so many.
Juju is starting in the flex for me in one league, so I guess I can't really say.
There's so many receivers in Pittsburgh that could be the wide receiver, too.
Yeah.
There's so many guys, trendy guys going around. I'm not sold that it's Deontay Johnson. Mm-hmm. Cam Newton versus Miami.
Yeah. I mean, if Cam Newton's your QB1, I don't think many people have him as their QB1, but.
If Cam Newton's your QB1,
why not start him this week?
Yeah, you don't. Like, yeah, you don't need to go to the waiver wire. He's playing Miami. It's a favorable matchup. All the reports are that Cam Newton just fucking sleeps at the facility too. Did you see what N'Keal Harry said?
Absolutely.
He said he has never seen Cam Newton arrive or leave. He's always just there and there. He's always still there when he got there.
He's hungry.
He is hungry. I think he's gonna be like I'm not just genuinely now. I'm not just saying this as a Patriots guy because I need him to do well and I need him, but I really want him to do well. I think Cam Newton's on a serious revenge tour. Like, yeah, he's gonna fuck some people up. Sure. He even said, "I'm coming for next. Yeah. I'm gonna fucking kill some people." Raheem Mostert. Arizona. He plays Arizona.
Yes, I'm starting Raheem Mostert. If I have him, I don't have him. But, like, he's... Everyone's saying he's the number one running back of 49ers. They have a great O-line. Arizona doesn't have a great D-line. They have Chandler Jones. But, like, other than that, I can't think of any other notable names. And he's a pass rush guy. He's not a running stopper. So, yeah.
They go with the hot hand in San Francisco. And the hot hand is going to be Raheem Mostert to start. Like, he's going to be their first guy. Throw him out. If he gets hot, he's staying. If he doesn't, they'll keep on switching out. If I have Raheem Mostert, I'm playing him. I really, 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 really hope I don't have him because he's one of my downers going into the season. And speaking of downers going into the season, we got our uppers and downers recap. We have named a bunch of people that we have as uppers and downers. We're going to quickly recap the ones that we've talked about, okay? How about you start, okay? Your uppers are right there. I think you can see it there. I labeled them. We also included the players that we talked about in the Convince Isaiah segments, the ones that we argued for. They're going to be considered uppers for us as well. So go through who you had as uppers there.
Yeah, and let me just start by saying this right now. I have none of my opinions have changed on these guys. Yeah. So Amari Cooper, I think he's going to have an amazing season. He has a tough matchup week one, though, I will say that, against Jalen Ramsey. Mm-hmm. I do think Ramsey is a little bit overrated.
Really?
Yes. I don't think he's a top three cornerback in the league, and everyone regards him as the best cornerback in the league. But yeah, I think he's a little overrated.
I think he's fucking the tits.
Yeah.
But go on.
Anyways, so Chris Carson, I still think he's gonna run away with that job, and he's gonna run a bunch. Like
a
you said,
bunch.
Like you said, Seattle has been run first offense every year, pretty much of Russell Wilson's career. So until we see otherwise, why think otherwise? Kind of thing.
True.
Cooper Kupp, I still think he's the best receiving option for
what's his name? Jared Goff.
There we go. Sorry, I'm very tired, guys.
This guy's running on less than fumes. He's running on farts.
I think he's gonna catch a lot of touchdowns. He's gonna have over 1,000 yards. I think he's gonna have a great season. David Johnson, he has proved that he can be the best running back in the league, and he's on. Well, I mean, he is coming from an offense that's heating up a bit, but he's going to an offense that it is hot.
I think he's same. I think their offense is comparable now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to have a great season. Brandon Cooks, again, great for every team he's ever played for, and he has a better quarterback.
Yeah, he has been good everywhere he's ever gone. That's true.
So, yeah, I think – like, I don't think he's going to land in wide receiver one territory, but I think he's definitely going to be wide receiver two territory. And then I have – for my downers,
not your downers. Just sorry, I was trying to point at the players that you argued for in the Convince Isaiah segment.
Sorry, yeah, they're doing a lot of fucking hands.
Yeah. It's the Joe Mixon and the no Isaiah. Buddy, scroll down. Stop right there. You don't need to do anything, Isaiah. Boom.
I'm trying to
point at the Joe Mixon, Chris Godwin at the bottom, because those are the players that you argued for in our Convince Isaiah segments, and they might as well be uppers for you at this point, right? So just quickly, you also had Joe Mixon and Chris Godwin as uppers.
I still think Joe Mixon is going to have an amazing year. He got paid, and they love him in the Bengals offense. So I think he's going to have an amazing year. I think Chris Godwin fits perfectly with Tom Brady.
Yeah,
he's going to be a huge touchdown guy. I think he's going to have over 1,200 yards. Even if he regresses from last year, he will be a wide receiver one. So, I don't know. Even if he has negative regression, I should say.
My uppers, I have Calvin Ridley. I have talked about him ad nauseum on this podcast. I fucking love Calvin Ridley. He's in his third year receivers have experienced huge breakouts. We're talking Cooper Kupp. We're talking Chris Godwin. We're talking Kenny Golladay, Kenny Golladay is going to have his third-year breakout as well, who is another guy who's basically an upper for me. But Calvin Ridley is playing for the Atlanta offense. They have a terrible defense, which means they're going to throw a ton. Mohamed Sanu's gone. Austin Hooper's gone. Tons of targets to be had, and Calvin Ridley is going to be the recipient of those, I do believe. Devontae Parker. Now, he's starting the season a little banged up, and he does play the Patriots week one, so I said that maybe you shouldn't start him, but that doesn't mean I don't love him for the season. We all waited for his breakout year. Every single season going into the fantasy football season, we say, Devontae Parker's going to break out. Devontae Parker's going to break out. Devontae Parker's going to break out. The year that he finally breaks out, we're going to say, oh, maybe that was just a fluke. Nah. Devontae Parker's real. He's the truth. He's got the most consistent quarterback play he's ever going to have with like a a consistent Fitzpatrick or Tua, who's the wild card, that might be mm-hmm. amazing. And Tua's not going to start if he's not amazing in practice, kind of like the Patrick Mahomes situation with Alex Smith. They're not going to get rid of Fitzpatrick if he's playing well and put in Tua if he's not playing super well in practice, yeah. right?
He's so in the same boat as Amari Cooper. He just has a really tough week one matchup.
He does, yeah, he's a tough week one matchup, so I'm probably fading him week one, but I'm loving him for season long. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Taylor, again, another guy that I've been fucking just screaming off of my rooftop about. He's amazing. He's going to have the job after week one, I do believe. He's playing the Jaguars. He's got the best offensive line in the league. He ran 2,000 yards, three consecutive seasons in college. The fastest 40-yard dash of any running back in 2020. He's fucking incredible. It's a no-brainer. I love Jonathan Taylor. He's one of my uppers. He's probably my most upper. If I mm-hmm. could put somebody at a pedestal, Jonathan Taylor's going to be the guy. I think he's going to win leagues this year. And then Hayden Hurst, for his value especially, he's going as like tight end 12 or 13. Again, everything I said about Calvin Ridley, you can insert here. There's a lot of vacated targets with Austin Hooper gone, with Mohamed Sanu gone. Calvin Ridley's going to get a bunch, but Hayden Hurst is definitely going to get some as well. The tight end in Atlanta has always had value, so there should be no reason Hayden Hurst doesn't. Atlanta just traded a second-round pick for him because they knew what his talent was. Baltimore loved him. They just couldn't find a way to play him considering they had Mark Andrews for the last year, 2 years, right?
Yeah.
And then some guys that I didn't convince, Isaiah, who basically might as well be uppers, Josh Jacobs, huge upper of mine. Second year, had an amazing rookie year. Should have won rookie of the year, honestly. He's gonna progress in the second year. He's the focal point of their offense. They don't really have too much going on offense. Derek Carr is not that great. They're gonna run a lot. And then Mike Evans. I love Mike Evans. I think he's gonna be a touchdown machine this year. He's never not had 1,000 yards. He's gonna have 1,000 yards and probably 7 touchdowns, which is a shoe-in as a great wide receiver 2, possibly wide receiver 1. Who are your downers for 2020? You only had 3, eh?
So number one, I got DJ Moore. I still feel poo-poo about him, just poo-poo. The entire situation, other than Christian McCaffrey in Carolina. Teddy Bridgewater still wears gloves. Or maybe he doesn't, actually.
He's going to wear gloves.
Maybe he just comes out not wearing gloves and just says, fuck you, Aiden.
The season of COVID, he's definitely wearing gloves. He's trying to stay clean.
Latex ones?
He comes out with, like, doctor gloves on. Yeah. Or he's wearing two gloves.
Doctor gloves.
That's what I'm an idiot. What do you want me to do?
Doctor gloves, yeah, or mechanics gloves, maybe. They're the same. yeah, so I don't like DJ Moore. And
I hate DJ Moore.
Next guy, Austin Eckler, just like he's a running back and he has no rushing value. That kind of like, okay, sick, play receiver, help. Idiot.
Yeah, you drafted him second round, not a good idea.
And then Jared Cook, he was very valuable last year, but his entire value came off touchdowns. Yeah. So like, it's another guy, like it's like Kenyon Drake, who's like, you fucking did very well, but you also scored 4 touchdowns in one game, so that skews your stats a little bit.
Yards are replicable, touchdowns are less replicable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With 9 touchdowns is high for a tight end.
Oh, it's extremely high for a tight end. It's high for any pass catcher. Mm-hmm. When you're getting close to the double digits, that's like elite territory, right? Some of my downers, I just got Raheem Mostert. I don't love the committee that's going on in San Francisco. The reason we love Raheem Mostert is because he exploded in the playoffs in the last week or two of the regular season. That only happened because he had the hot hand. Whoever has the hot hand is going to have the carries. And there might be some games where Raheem Mostert just gets completely goose-egged. Like, if he's not the guy that's performing well, Tevin Coleman is great. And who's the other guy that... Fuck, I'm drawing a blank on the guy that they paid. Jerick McKinnon is there as well. And then they're going to give him some leash. Everybody's got some leash. I don't love Raheem Mostert. DeAndre Hopkins, I just said, like, I like DeAndre Hopkins. I just don't love him for what his value was. COVID offseason, limited time with his new quarterback, limited time with the new offense in general. It's a young team. I think defenses might key in on him a little bit. He's going to finish the season as a wide receiver 1. I just don't think he has that top 3 potential that he usually has. Devin Singletary, already talked about him a lot. I actually had to argue for him, and he's one of my downers. Moss.
I wasn't loving this fucking guy at Marquise.
it's fucking bullshit. I had to argue for one of my downers. Singletary's going to have a good week 1, I think. I just don't think I love him for season long. Zach Moss is going to have the job by the end of the season, and if he doesn't, Singletary, like, it doesn't excite me.
If he doesn't have the job, Josh Allen will.
Yeah, exactly. Josh Allen's a vulture for them touches. And then the last downer is Keenan Allen. I like Keenan Allen. He's probably top 3 route runner in the league. Julian Edelman, Keenan Allen. Fucking
just got paid, too.
And he just got paid massive. But, I don't know. Keenan Allen, I've said this for a lot of players, but Keenan Allen's best season has been played already. He has the worst situation offensively he's ever had. Phillip Rivers is gone. Tyrod Taylor is there. Not the most accurate quarterback. Not a great... doesn't think he's not going to get a lot of yards in general. They're going to be a run-first offense. They just played Eckler. And then their consolation prizes, maybe Justin Herbert comes in, mm-hmm. who's a bit more of a wild card than ever before. I do not like Keenan Allen. He is definitely a downer for me. Yeah, that's our uppers and downers for the season long. Now we're getting into the fun part. Everybody loves a good rookie bookie, you know? Let's help you win some money. Maybe we can win some money for ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's just go through some tips. Like, here's some lines for week one that we think you need to be smashing. These are our recommendations for how to make some money, okay? Chicago Bears at Detroit Lions. Their over-under is 44.
Yeah.
Smash the under. I have over highlighted, but
yeah,
smash.
I was about to say, yeah.
Smash the under. The Bears, smash the under.
Week one last year at the Bears game, 13 points were scored. Three by the Bears, none by Mitch Trubisky.
I don't think either of these teams could... Well, I don't know. Detroit Lions, they're going to throw a lot, but I don't think they're going to score a lot. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a tough defense. Like, and it's divisional. Like, it's.
Mm-hmm. I don't think either team scores 20.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I think it's going to be a close one. It's going to be, as in true Detroit Lions fashion, it's going to be a close one. And I don't think they score over 44 points by any means.
Six touchdowns have to get scored for 44 to hit. That's not even hitting yet.
Yeah,
no, that's too... That's
crazy.
I don't love it. And then Seattle Hawks are -2 against the Falcons. What?
Yeah.
Why? What's with the respect for the Falcons? Can you explain this to me? Do you know why? I love the Falcons, but their defense is shit.
Yeah, and in Seattle... Well, I mean, to be fair, though, aren't the Seattle Seahawks are favored?
Yeah, the Seattle Seahawks are favored, but it's only -2. Like, they're only favored, but it's
basically toss-up. I guess I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. The line I really don't
bigger
know.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know. They've maybe the best quarterback that we're going to see this year in Seattle. Like,
they might have the best quarterback we're going to see this year in Atlanta.
They could, but I think there's a better case for Russell Wilson for sure. I almost said Westbrook, that fucking bum. Not the best in anything.
I make that mistake all the time, honestly.
Yeah. The only thing he's good at is bricking. Anyways, back to the Seattle Seahawks. I don't know. I'm taking Seattle Seahawks, and I'm way up on the spread for sure. They're winning by more than 3 for sure.
Yeah, smash the Seahawks week 1. Yeah,
100%.
And then here's one that you didn't agree with, but I do. And that's Tampa Bay Buccaneers at New Orleans Saints. The over-under line is 49. I'm smashing that under. I think that's way too high. Tampa Bay they might have a great offense on paper. They haven't had much time to prepare. It's been a COVID offseason. Keep on coming back to this. There's no preseason. 12 padded practices. A lot of new faces in Tampa Bay. And then New Orleans, I think New Orleans is going to roll over Tampa Bay week 1, kind of. And I don't think it's going to be a very high-scoring game. Like, they're going to score points. They might score, I don't know, it might be like a 21-25 game, but that doesn't get them really close. That doesn't get them over that 49 points, right? So I'm taking the under. I'm not smashing the under, but I'm taking the under pretty confidently.
See, and that's – I just feel like sports betting, like – I gamble for a living, so like sports betting, like I think about betting like smart. So I'm just like, I'm looking at that and I'm like, wow, the Saints and the Bucks, it could be 50 points each easily. I think it could be a crazy game. Like every week one, I think there's just like that one crazy game that's like, holy fuck, this is so sick. I think this could be that game.
Yeah,
and I think it's not gonna be sick. Like, it's not going to be sick because of their defenses. It's going to be sick because of their offenses. And I think, I don't know. It could be under. It could be over.
Yeah, it's a toss-up for you. Yeah. It's definitely not smashing that. I'm not smashing it either, but I do think it's going to be an under on the 49.
Mine, and I am smashing the under on this, New York Jets versus Buffalo Bills, 39.5. I just don't see either of these teams scoring a lot of points. Like I said when we were talking about Devin Singletary, it could be a one touchdown kind of deal for both teams. Like,
it's true.
I just don't see these guys scoring 20 points apiece. That's what would pretty much need to happen.
The Jets are going to be deplorable on offense this year. And on defense, really. I'm taking the under, but I'm not smashing it, just because if one team scores 20 points, all of a sudden, that line becomes really easy to beat.
Once a team scores 20 points, then the other team still needs to score 20 points.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. I feel like if one team scores like 28, it's really not that hard. You need 11 more points.
Yeah, I get it. I just don't think that's ever going to happen.
Fair enough.
And especially then, week one this year.
And then here's one that we really disagree on. This is the one we're going to put some of our own money down. So now, rookie bookie, basically it's a twofold segment. We give you some tips of who we think you guys should go with, try and make you guys some own money. But then we also have our... What?
I have the hiccups. I'm trying to keep it away from the mic as much as possible.
We're almost there, man. We're almost home free. Now we're going to, like, the other segment of this is Isaiah's our rookie bookie. He takes our bets, and we have an ongoing line between Aiden and I. You know, we're constantly making bets. We made some season-long bets for how people are, who's going to win divisions. We've made some season-long bets for prop bets on touchdowns and that kind of stuff. But this week, we're just going to make a quick $20 bet on the Chargers versus the Bengals. You like the Bengals for some reason.
I think they're just going to come out hot. I like it. I love that they're just... They're going in on that offense. I think they're going to be great. I love Joe Mixon. I think he could just break out, especially against the Chargers. They just lost Derwin James, which is a big loss on their defense. And Cincinnati Bengals, I guess it really does depend on how Joe Burrow plays, but the Cincinnati Bengals have some fucking ballers at wide receiver.
They have firepower at offense,
and they have
a
baller at running back. So I think they're going to come out hot, and I think they're going to win this game by more than 3 points.
Well, for starters, the Chargers are favored by 3 points, and I think they're going to win the game by more than 10. Like, here's my problem with the Bengals is that it's surrounded by young people. Burrow is a rookie. Mm-hmm. T. Higgins is a rookie. A.J. Green is a born-again rookie, like I just said. Tyler Boyd, it's like his fourth year. He's the only one I think is consistent. Joe Mixon has terrible starts of seasons every year. I think the Chargers, they have continuity. Tyrod Taylor's been there in that system. Keenan Allen's been there. Mike Williams has been there. Austin Eckler's been there. Their whole offense has been there. Like, they already have experience. They don't even need practice.
Tyrod Taylor has been in Los Angeles as much time as Joe Burrow has been in Cincinnati.
Nope, not true. Tyrod Taylor was there all last season as backup. And the season before, I think.
Was he?
Yeah.
Well, I actually didn't realize that.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor's he's their backup all last year. That's why they're so confident in him. That's why they're not starting anybody else, because he's their fucking he knows the offense like at the back of his hand.
I guess I just really didn't pay attention to the Chargers last year because Philip Rivers was like throwing more interceptions than I have fucking hands and fingers and toes. Like,
wow, you walked yourself crazy into a terrible joke there. Fuck.
I mean, like I said, I'm running on fumes, man.
Tyrod Taylor was a backup quarterback all last year, so he's been there. They knows the offense. They got a lockdown there. I think now that you didn't know that, I'm happy I took that bet. I feel like you're kind of regretting taking that bet.
No, I'm not at all.
All right, so $20 bet on that. We'll check in on you guys next week with the rookie bookie to see who won that bet. Obviously, you guys will know before we will.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Excited to watch some fucking football.
I'm so fucking pumped, man. I can't believe it's actually here. All offseason, I'm like, oh, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Well, it's fucking happening.
Yeah.
Literally.
Let's fucking go, man.
What if, like, the whole season gets, or the whole, like, league gets COVID after week one?
I'll still be happy. As long as I get to
watch
one
week.
Little bit of football, like, that's good. Like, I would... I'm so fucking excited for Thursday. I can't even, like, explain.
Guy's fucking speechless.
Yeah.
All right. OBJ likes to get shit on. That's all. I don't know. I just still can't believe that, bro. I still can't believe
that. I don't believe it.
I 100% believe it. She has no reason to lie.
Clout.
Oh, yeah, I'm the shit girl. Like, sick, guy.
In a year of clout chasers, I just think this is, like, especially right as football is about to start. Like, it's just, like, OBJ on his revenge season. Let's
perfect
fuck
storm.
Anything
else to add before we say goodbye to our fourth and wrongers? Fourthers?
I'm just happy football's here. I'm ready to win my fantasy league back-to-back, baby. Let's go.
Yeah. May the fourth be with you. Peace, love, and applesauce. Peace.
Bye. Au revoir.
Au revoir.